Welcome to Revival for Mission. In this program, we feature ordinary people that do extraordinary things for God. Today, we'll talk to Larry, who leads the Adventist Possibility Ministries. In a few moments, right here on Revival for Mission. Welcome. We talk about what people cannot do. We marginalize young boys, marginalize those that cannot do this or that or the other. And we've learned in society this is the normal. But we don't believe that. We want to do it differently. Adventist Possibility Ministries. Tell us more about how the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, relates to that.
Adventist Possibility Ministries opens up a new era of opportunity for church members to interact with those who have unusual situations, but those people need to be treated just like anybody else. They want to be part of the mission. They want to reach out. They want to be part of total member involvement. You know, we can accommodate, we can kind of, you know, be sweet. No, they want to be part of the whole thing. So this really involves a mutual understanding that we are in this together. You and I, we're both children of God.
We have many stories of Jesus coming through and healing in different ways, almost anticipating the new earth right there. Because in the new earth, we're told that all of our inabilities will be turned into this new creation that God will create. And Jesus heals the blind. He heals those that have those difficulties. Sometimes he leaves the crowds unhealed. And we see Jesus having his ministry toward the cross, toward restoring all of us at the same time. How does this happen in a local church where everybody is equal as they come in?
Well, people ought to feel welcome. They ought to feel like we are all sinners at the foot of the cross. And because of that, the Lord can use every person that walks in that door, regardless of your background, regardless of your situation. If you place yourself in God's hands, He will change you into a new creature. And we do this together under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Elder Wilson, why don't you share a thought from Scripture about this topic?
Friends, one of the most beautiful aspects of the ministry of Jesus while on earth is that He included everyone. He made a conscious effort to reach out to all, regardless of social status, occupation, education, age, able-bodied or facing special challenges, men or women. Christ ministered to all. In the Gospels, numerous stories are recorded where Christ ministered to those facing physical and other difficult challenges. Through His touch, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, and the lame walk. Demoniacs were healed and restored to their right mind. Many others were healed too. We remember the woman who was severely hunched over, whom Christ restored. The man with the withered hand made whole again. The woman with the flow of blood that no physician could help. But as she reached out in faith, Christ healed her. Even the dead were raised by our ever-loving, powerful Savior. You see, Christ cares about everyone individually, and He knows each one's needs. There are times today when physical healing takes place, and other times when it may not happen right away. But praise God, we have the hope that one day soon, God will make all things new, when all is restored to perfect wholeness. We read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, "Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Friends, God's word is indeed faithful and true, and we can count on Him to fulfill His promises. I invite you today to rest in His hope and assurance right now.
Welcome back. We're here with Larry Evans, the director of Adventist Possibility Ministries. Larry, you have recently changed the name of the ministry. Tell us more about that.
Well, it is true. We are now called Adventist Possibility Ministries. Before that, it was Special Needs Ministries, and before that, it was Disability Ministries. Well, we knew when we first started that Disability Ministries was not what some groups of people wanted to be called. To be called disability suggests that they are known for what they cannot do. I mean, who among us wants to be known for what we can't do or where we've made a mistake or whatever? So we changed it to special needs, and that seemed to help for a while. But as our vision began to grow, we felt that the name was not adequate, because special needs suggests that there is something that isn't working and that if we could just fix it, then all of a sudden they would be all right. So it was almost like a ministry of fix it. So if you couldn't hear, we would add captioning. If you couldn't walk, we would add a wheelchair. But the more we grew, the more we studied and reflected on God's word, the more we began to realize that every person has a gift. And so what we really wanted to do was open the doors of opportunity that these people who had unlimited possibility could begin to walk through those doors. So sometimes we have to add captioning. Sometimes we have to put ramps up to the platform in churches. Yeah, we still do that. But that's not our goal. We have a goal that reaches beyond that.
Well, Larry, you and I have been connected with this, and I just want to express the deepest appreciation to you, how God has used you in this special ministry. but, you know, let's get back to the name, Adventist Possibility Ministries. You've explained a little bit, but possibility, I mean, that could almost apply to anybody. So tell us some of the specific activities that Adventist Possibility Ministries really is involved with and how it's making a difference in literally hundreds, if not thousands, of lives because of this emphasis.
Well, it is indeed thousands of lives. It's far beyond. There's no way any human being can take credit for the phenomenal miracles that have been taking globally, been going on. What has happened is that people who may not be involved, people who may not have a disability, have all of a sudden begun to think differently about the people who have always been marginalized. And they said, you know, maybe I could learn sign language, and maybe I could learn how to talk to a deaf person. Or if we see people like I have in many places crawling in the dirt to go to church and to give their offerings, I'll never forget those pictures.
That's real consecration and dedication.
Oh, these people are dedicated. At first, you begin to think that you are their teacher. Hmm. The longer I am in this work, the more I realize that they are my teacher.
Amen.
And out of that comes a humbling experience. You come to look at yourself in ways that you haven't seen before. And you begin to realize how God is God.
Amen.
And how He leads. Mm. And so it's been very humbling. In fact, Ellen White makes a statement very strongly that the reason for these people is to bring to the church a revival and a reformation. The very people that we have marginalized for so long are now the very people that God says He will use to bring a revival, reformation within the church.
Amen.
Volume 3, page 511. talks about all these different groups of people. And so as we began thinking about that, Elder Wilson, we began to realize that indeed specific things need to be named. So we've developed, if I may say this at this point, what we call a 3A strategy to acquaint the world church with this group of people. One is awareness, becoming aware of these people. What are their possibilities? What are their needs? But that's only part of it. We must learn. We must move to the second one, which is acceptance. I need to learn how to accept these people. What does acceptance look like? What if I'm going to invite these people to my home? What's it going to look like when they feel accepted? See, acceptance is not just having a name on a church roll. It is them feeling like they have a sense of belonging. And if they feel like they belong, then we're set for ministry in the church. Well, the third A is simple, and that third A is action. What kind of action plans do we need to put in place? And they vary from church to church, from country to country. But there needs to be a very specific action plan.
As a local church pastor, I've noticed that a lot of people believe this ministry is crucial and important. But many of them are scared to take part in this because we have developed such a strong sense of language and what you can say and what you cannot say. And if you say this, you're going to offend. And if you say that, that group will be offended. And in the fear of offending, people just they're just quiet. They don't interact. They don't take part in this ministry. Have you discovered that as well? And how do you handle that? How do you encourage people to try it, to go out there and make a difference in and be part of Possibility Ministries?
You sound like you've been to some of my seminars. This is exactly the thing, Sam. These people, those people like us, don't know how to talk to a blind person. Do you say to a blind person, can you see that? I remember walking with a blind lady, and she said, I feel that there's something around here. I said, well, yes, can you see the mountain? I said, oh, no. She said, that's all right. No, show me how tall is that mountain? Or what color is the sky? I said, what? Why would you want to know what color that you can't see? Well, tell it to me in terms of tone, of sound. A high-pitched sound means a bright sunny sky, a dark sun. So they talk in those ways. And the deaf understand if you say hear. In their interpretation, they understand. Those people. But you ask the question, how do we help the church members learn to accept this? We do that by helping the blind people come up front and them telling us what's acceptable to them. Having a deaf person speak to us. And that's what we're all about. We're trying to help people learn how to incorporate these people into the very life of the church.
Now, before we get into some specific stories, because I'm sure you're full of them. I know you are because I've heard some of them. Some people might think, well, you know, this is just a kind of a localized thing for one or two places around the world. I know the answer to this question, but I want you to tell our viewers and tell us what is happening in this worldwide movement. In other words, is this just a localized thing or is it truly becoming so global that you can see the hand of God in it and it's truly part of total member involvement, getting people who are involved with Adventist Possibility Ministries involved in the actual work of the church, not just kind of, you know, accommodating them and but no, they're part and parcel of total member involvement. Now, is this worldwide or is this just localized?
Oh, it's just localized, but multiple locals.
Okay.
It's everywhere. Everywhere where leaders take the time to allow the message to be gotten.
That is very key, isn't it?
Oh, I have
a leader
yet,
is important.
Within our own church organization, I have yet to see it happen if it doesn't happen either at the division or at the union level. If it starts happening there, then the pastors are more likely to pick it up.
These overall supervisory.
Yeah, and inspiring. People act by inspiration, not by command. And these When a pastor sees the stories and sees people being baptized or accepting the Lord for the very first time, it is exciting, and these pastors become motivated themselves. They want to tell the story.
Amen.
So the problem then becomes they become the storyteller rather than the people we're trying to reach. That's my challenge. I want to tell the story because I get so excited about it.
Well, tell us the story then.
Well,
wow.
Well, let me.
Or more stories.
Yeah. Well, I got too many stories. But what happens, sorry, what happens is that these stories emerge. And they're hidden. And then you start talking about God. And then these people come to life, because these are not stories that they talk simply about themselves. They're talking about how good God is. For example, one that was fairly recent. I was in Brazil, and the deaf leader, Juliana Santos, says she is blind. And she said, I want you to come over to a home where we will have Vespers for Friday night. We were having Vespers there. We were singing praises to God. And it was the home of Reggiani and her husband and her children. What was amazing was Reggiani is blind. Well, another blind person. So, and then she told me her story. She had gone to an ATM to draw some money out. And she got the money, got in her car, and started driving to home or to work. I don't remember which. And alongside her came this motorcycle, two people in a motorcycle. They came up real close to her, and the person in the back pulled out a gun, held it right at her window in her car. The window was up, shot her, and the bullet went through her head and circled around and is still lodged in her back. But as it went through her head, she lost sight in both eyes. I have a picture that shows her laying, her car crashed, people pulled her out of the car, and there they're holding a bandage around her head while waiting for the ambulance. Well, that's a tragic story. But the story doesn't end there. Reggiani says, but God has introduced me to a new world of reaching out to the blind. She has 45. They invited me down for a special evangelistic series for the blind. First one ever in that area or any place I know of. The church was packed because a lot of people, probably 700 there in an overflow, because there were people who were not blind who came, but everybody had heard about this story. And while I was there, I preached, but the story wasn't me preaching. The story was the fruit of Reggiani's work, because that Sabbath we baptized one or two people that were there, and they had others baptized. She's baptized a number of people. I never hear her complain about her blindness. What I hear her talking about is how good God is and how God has given her a new ministry through her, quotes, disability. Hmm. You see what I mean? It's not about what she can't do. It's about what she is able to do with the life that God has given to her. That's it's an amazing story.
It is. But tell us another one.
Well, I think of, you're going to hear some stories from my colleague, Pastor Jeff Jordan. So I don't want to tell his stories, but I got to say something. Because I just came back from Indonesia. And the work, you're going to hear the story more than once. But the idea is lay people who are, some of them, who are not paid a dime from the church. They need to be, frankly. But they are out there. They are so burdened. God puts this vision and the burden on their heart. And they are out there sharing. We've got a number of deaf companies coming up. But what's important when we're going to talk
when
about...
When you say company, you mean local churches?
Local, yeah. Before they become... We organized a company group.
Okay.
And before it becomes a full church, they become a company.
I see.
And there we organized in what will be the new capital of Indonesia. We organized about 10 people in that group. Thanks to this one layperson. Since then, she's done more. And so there's more coming. The vision is for every company, for every union and every church in that area to have a company by 2025. Mm. It's that kind of vision. Did I give that vision? Maybe I inspired a little bit, but very little. It is something that God is doing where people are willing to listen. We must not leave anyone behind. That's my concern. One quick last story. Well, I don't know about my last one, but a quick story. This work got started with the deaf, not with the others. And that was providential. I had no idea until I got into this, because right now we have 7 different ministries. Possibility ministries include 7. I must mention all 7.
Please do.
One is the deaf. That's how we got started. And because the deaf is a unique culture, providentially, we needed to start with the deaf culture. The others are not cultures per se, but the deaf. They have their own language, their own sense of humor, their own sense of music, etc. So we started with the deaf. And then we began reading, and we read, and from my own personal experience growing up as a kid, we've added 6 other groups. One is for the blind. That's obvious. But what about the lame or the physical? What about the mental? What about orphans and vulnerable children? What about the widowed? And then, out of my own experience, because I grew up in a home where my father had an illness, a mental illness, and I realized then, growing up, it was traumatic. Nobody knows, unless they've really lived in a situation like that, the trauma of a mental illness. It's devastating, and it creates all sorts of dysfunctions. And so out of my own experience and observation of other people, we added a group called caregivers. In some places, it's chaplains. But who's going to help the family? Who's going to support the family going through a personal crisis like that? So some of these are still just being developed, but we've created now 2 websites. We have a website for the deaf, Adventist Deaf Ministries International. We have one for Possibility Ministries. Each of those also has a Facebook. And then we have Hope Channel Deaf. So we got started long time ago in Nairobi, Kenya. This is where I got my start. Well, not my first start, really, but in this new work, we got started in Nairobi, Kenya. A man there, by the division leader, union president at the time, Paul Mawasia, had this same vision. And we just teamed up so well. We have other people, Thompson Kay, Jeff Jordan, David Trexler, a lot of these individuals were with me in that first seminar. We had Muslims come. But you know what we discovered? Most of the people who came were coming from Sunday churches, but they were Seventh-day Adventists, because they were going to those churches because it was those churches where we had signing. We didn't have it in our church. Paul Mawasia saw that, and he says, that's got to change. So he began promoting signing and learning to sign and all that. 2 years later, I was in Kenya again, on my way to Congo. While we were there in Kenya, we had the second highest number of baptisms in the history of the Adventist Church, maybe the highest. We're just being modest by saying the second highest. And we baptized 131 deaf that Sabbath, on one Sabbath. I was on my way to Congo, and I got a phone call. My mother had died. But before she died, she told me on the phone while I was still in Kenya. I said, Mom, guess what? 131 people were just baptized. They were deaf. And the last words that I remember my mother saying, oh, Larry, isn't God wonderful? She didn't say, Larry, why aren't you here with me? I'm in my deathbed. Why aren't you here? She said, Larry, isn't God wonderful?
It doesn't surprise me that this movement, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, is moving very decisively in this direction, because we have the mandate to reach every human being alive. Every human being. And so having this focus is incredibly important, because every person matters to Jesus.
Amen.
And the difference between, let's say, a mentally handicapped and a normal person today is probably smaller than the difference between that normal person and the new creation that God is about to do. Yeah. And when we are all restored to that beautiful new earth, in our full restoration to be more and more like Christ, then there will be the fully inclusive new earth that God is creating. Larry, thank you very much for being here with us. Thank you for sharing these stories. And if you want to know more about how to get involved in this incredible ministry, just go to revivalformission.tv and you will find all of the resources there. But don't go away. In a few moments, Elder Wilson will share from Scripture some thoughts about this. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Thank you for staying with us. Elder Wilson, why is it important that everyone get involved in mission? Wouldn't it be better, more efficient perhaps, that we get some specialists, they trained in those particular things, and they just go ahead and do it? We just sit back and support them. Why hasn't God set it up this way?
Specialists are important. They have their place. But when it comes to God working through people to save others, because we don't save them, but we assist God's great plan, it is a wonderful opportunity for us to see changes, and it actually comes back to be a great blessing for us. The Bible says, Mark 16, verse 15, corollary to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says in verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It wasn't meaning just a few people doing that. Everyone has to be involved. And when you're dealing with individuals who may be challenged in a different way than you are, it means all of us are inclusively working together for this great objective of helping people know Jesus loves them and he's coming again to take them home. That's really what total member involvement really is all about.
And each of us, we can take part in this. Elder Wilson, what are your final thoughts to the viewers at home and to us?
Friends, today we've seen how what seems impossible can become, through God's grace, possible. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, regardless of our circumstances. I invite you today to ask him to show you how, through his grace, you can fulfill the plan he has just for you. And we'll see you next time, right here on Revival for Mission.